Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the gospel reading, we'll especially be hearing these words from Jesus. He says, "No servant can serve two masters." It doesn't work. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, the English Standard Version, that's the translation of the Bible that we use here for our church services, it has the word money. You cannot serve God and money. But I'm willing to bet that a lot of you remember from the old King James, probably remember it better, Jesus saying, "You cannot serve God and mammon." And I think mammon is, yes, it's a word we don't use as much, but it's more helpful. Mammon, that word is simply a transliteration of the Greek, which in essence is just saying we just took the Greek word and made it an English word. So the Greek word is mammon. I think it's a little more helpful just for this reason is when we hear money, you and I, we tend to think like dollar bills, credit cards, coins, this kind of stuff. And mammon is so much more than just dollar bills, okay? You can't just think of a guy or a gal sitting down in her basement like in a dark corner counting all their money. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. So mammon, it gets your mind a little more open here. We're not just talking about physical money, coins and dollars. We're talking about everything that has to do with money. Everything money can buy, everything money can bring you. All of it is mammon. So we just don't have a real good English word about maybe the closest thing we would use would be like stuff. You cannot serve God and stuff. It's all of this combined. Money, possessions, power, fame, all the big, glorious, pleasurable things that come with money. So first of all, a simple question. Why does God say this? Why is God so hard on mammon? Because all of us know that these are good gifts of God. I mean, money is a gift of God. It's a good thing. And a lot of the things of this world are good. So why is God so hard on it? And I want to get something out of the way immediately, because we might be tempted to say, well, this must be another one of those cases where God doesn't want us to have any fun, right? This is God's mission in life, to make us miserable. So he gives us all these good, great things of life, and then he says you can't have any of them, right? And that's a very negative view of God, a very false view of God. And this is where we would kind of get mad at God, like, oh, God never wants me to have anything nice, you know. He doesn't want me to have that new home or that vacation home. He doesn't want me to go on that shopping spree. Well, no, okay, don't even go there. None of that has anything to do with what Jesus is talking about here. The reason that Jesus says you cannot serve two masters is because it's true. It's not that he doesn't, you know, want you to have fun or he's trying to keep you from something pleasurable. It's just true. You can't do it. And he knows that if you and I go out there and try to do that, if we try to serve mammon and serve God, we will lose. And he doesn't want that to happen. Because, of course, why does God tell you this? Because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to go out there and get burned by this horrible, monstrous master called mammon. So this is the same reason God gives you the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Again, is it because God's this mean old jerk, you know, who doesn't want you to serve anyone else? No, it's because God loves you. And he knows that the minute you follow these other gods, you're going to get burned by them and you're going to lose. And God doesn't want that. God is the only true, good, and gracious God who loves you. Mammon does not. So Jesus doesn't want you to serve a false God who doesn't love you. And at the same time, why does God tell you this? Again, pretty simple. He knows that this is one of the biggest temptations for you and I is mammon. I mean, you and I are enticed by this every single day because, hey, we all love our stuff. I mean, nearly every single day we get bombarded by this temptation. We want this, we want that. You know, we overspend for this or that, or we covet this or that other people have. We get jealous, prideful, anxious. I mean, mammon is constantly after us. So what I'd like to do with you this morning is talk about what life is like when Mammon is our master, when Mammon becomes our master. I mean, when Mammon is in charge of you, what does it demand of you? What does it tell you to do? What does it give you? So let's think about some of these things. For one, Mammon demands your time. All of this stuff that you and I have, you've probably thought about this before. All of this stuff that we have takes so much time. I mean, Mammon demands that you are constantly spending time keeping up all this stuff. Your house and your car. Just think about that alone. How much time you guys spend cleaning, maintaining, fixing. And just think about one of your weeks and think, how much time do you spend taking care of your stuff? It's a lot. You know, there's some just inherent things in here. Like, if you spend a lot of money for something, you kind of feel like you need to use it. So that's just time, right? Or if you spend a lot for something, you feel like you got to keep it up because otherwise it's going to lose value. We can't have that, right? And this is what Mammon does. It demands your time until finally it takes all of it and leaves you with nothing left. But what about when God is your master? God, see, is the exact opposite. God actually gives you more time. To be precise, he gives you eternity. Now, I'll try to beat you to the punch here. You might say, wait a minute, that's not fair. God demands our time too, right? In fact, I'm here right now Sunday morning because God demands I give him an hour on Sunday morning, right? And God demands every day I'm supposed to spend time doing my devotions, praying, and so forth. Okay, fine. Yes, this is true. But those gifts of God don't actually take your time away. See, they're giving you time. They're giving you eternal life. And there's another side of this that's maybe even more important than that. When you are spending time in worship and in prayer and doing devotions, these actually give you more time because they focus you on what's important so that you can make the most of all the rest of your minutes and seconds of all your days. God is very much a giver of time. Mammon is a time leech. Secondly, Mammon is also a god that will never leave us content, but always wants us to be anxious. Because Mammon, you understand, always wants more, more, more. I mean, no matter how much stuff we see, I know you all have experienced this, no matter how much stuff you seem to pile up, there's always something else that we're convinced we need. The more we have, the more we want. And what this does, it leaves us constantly anxious, upset, full of worry, right? We're always worrying about the next thing, the next purchase, the next paycheck, taking care of all that stuff. Mammon is very much a god of anxiety. But what about when God is your master? God, see, he doesn't ever demand more from you, ever. He gives you absolutely everything you need and says, don't worry about anything. Remember some of these verses, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall want for nothing? Or Jesus in Matthew 6, when he has that whole long speech about not worrying, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you? Don't worry. I mean, you have everything you need for this life and for the life to come. God is very much a God of peace. In the book of Hebrews, don't worry. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, whereas Mammon is going to always send us fretting for this or that, you know, all these things, God is one who says, don't worry, I've taken care of everything. Mammon is also a god that demands that you protect it. Right? You must protect your Mammon. Protect it at all costs. So what this usually means is just easily insurance, okay? Get insurance on all your Mammon so that nothing can happen to it. Home insurance, car insurance, renter's insurance, liability, flood insurance, you name it. And then, not only that, but where you put your money has to be protected. So you make sure you're putting your Mammon in a bank that's, you know, federally insured, or you make sure to spread your Mammon around different places. So, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, make sure it's protected. Mammon is a god that constantly wants us to protect it. Now, you know what I'm going to say about God. What about when God is your master? God protects you. I mean, that's the way a God should be. God doesn't need your protection. Are you kidding? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is our refuge and strength, Psalm 46, our fortress. God is our protection. He doesn't say, protect me. That's ridiculous. He fights against our enemies, sin, death, and the devil. He is our insurance. And he can tell us in Romans chapter 8 that nothing in all of creation will separate us from his love. Mammon, see, is weak. God is our refuge and strength. Finally, Mammon is a God that forces you to compete with other people. And this is where I just really cannot stand Mammon at all. See, this is just an inherent thing about Mammon, is that there's only so much of it to go around. So for you, inevitably, to get more Mammon, it means taking it away from someone else. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying economics is all bad. No. But as a master, yes, Mammon is horrible because it will constantly make you in competition with other people, always driving you to try to be the best and have the most. And think about how God is so completely opposite to that. God is a God of abundance. He doesn't ever breed competition between us. He's not telling us to try to be the best and have the most because he makes us the best. He gives us all from his wonderful abundance of grace, okay? You and I don't have to compete each other to try to earn his love because there's always an overabundance of his grace and his mercy. Mammon is a God of competition. God is a God of plenty. It's very much a tale of two completely different masters. And hey, yeah, Mammon is an appealing God. We all know that. But if we can see that it only leads to despair, and we can see that God is a God that leads to life and joy. Now, one last way to really think about this today is to remember who is saying these words to you. Who tells you you cannot serve God and money? Is this some mean dictator that's trying to make you miserable? No, it's Jesus, your Savior, who could have had all the mammon in the world, right? I mean, he was, Jesus could have rode high on mammon, right? With his kind of power, his kind of fame, he could have been the richest, most successful, longest living person in the world. But instead, he died poor and alone at just 33 years old. See, this is not a mean dictator God telling you this. This is your Savior Jesus, who did not serve mammon, but served his heavenly Father and served you by giving his very life on the cross. And you, friends, you live in Jesus, and that means you are a master over mammon. See, if mammon couldn't have any power over him, it can't have any power over you. And we have this wonderful joy that since we've been baptized into Jesus and all our sins have been forgiven, we can be masters over mammon. It doesn't have to control us, right? It's all under God's control anyway, all of this stuff of this world. So, no, we're not going to let money tell us what to do, but we're going to tell it what to do. So here is where I think Jesus really is coming with this parable of the unrighteous servant. You know, he commends us to be shrewd with the unrighteous wealth. He calls it the mammon. You and I are to be shrewd as being masters over mammon. Okay? We're to be shrewd in that we will not let mammon be master over us where we have to hold on to it like with this death grip. We will not let it do that to us. We will be shrewd. We live in Jesus Christ. We can be masters over mammon and use all those gifts of God for good things, to serve God and to serve our neighbor. You know, one thing to always keep in mind, you will never outgive your God. Mammon's going to constantly want to make you anxious and competing and all these things, but you don't have to be because you will never, ever outgive God's goodness. Right? He is a master that is full of eternal life, full of peace and contentment, full of protection and full of grace, and that is who your master is. Okay? No worries, no anxiety, no competition, just a good and gracious master who gives you everything you need. In Jesus' name, amen. And peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.